Now at McDonald's, get a $5 McChicken meal deal or a $6 McDouble meal deal. They come with small fries, a soft drink, and four-piece McNuggets. We're going to need a bigger tray. Get more value with your meal deal with McValue.
Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Del, along with Tyler Lance, is off this week. A much-deserved week off after a hard draft season for him. So, we've got all day long. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776. We got a lot to talk about with the Texans schedule and with our Astros playing great. And what about the Rockets as well? A nail biter. This is one of the biggest games in NBA history with the Lakers and the Rockets going at it. And the Lakers able to come through in the final seconds with Kyle Kuzma walking about seven steps into the lane and laying it in. And unfortunately, the Rockets, in one of their biggest games ever, come up just short. So, where were you when the Rockets were lost that nail biter last night?
I was probably asleep.
You would have been sleeping already.
I was at home, but I was likely sleeping,
so
deep into sleep.
How in the world did you not stay awake for that? That's ridiculous.
You know, if I was a Portland fan, I might have, because, you know, if Portland has a real shot not to play in the play-in, but as a non Portland fan or Maverick fan or Laker fan, I didn't feel the need.
The Portland still has to lose out for them to not be in the play. If they lose out,
and the Lakers win
and the Lakers win out, then the Lakers are in.
Yes,
but that's the only way.
They go to Phoenix tonight, the second night of a back to back. So we'll see if Phoenix is trying tonight. That's always in question. Because teams may be tanking for seeding while Portland is trying to win to avoid the seven.
Then what do you do if you're Phoenix? Because now you have a real possibility of playing the Lakers in the first round.
Yes.
Wouldn't you rather beat Portland and play Portland?
You would.
Yeah.
I just wonder, because it's not guaranteed, they would still have to hope that Utah falls apart a little bit. So these are things that coaches have to balance. I imagine they will try tonight, even though Utah still has to lose games for them to get the one. But and also, I'm just looking at it, do they try to tank and hope the Clippers went out so they can fall to three, because the Clippers own the head-to-head against the Suns. So,
I mean, you're in a much better position if you're Phoenix, if you're in third, or if Portland falls into that.
I
honestly, if you're the Suns, you're like, really? This is what we get? This is what we get?
It's a real look. Beating the Blazers changed the math for them, certainly. But yeah, there's a real shot you're facing the Lakers. And by the way, this Laker team, will they be healthy? Well, the thing is, will the Lakers be healthy to even win out? Because LeBron didn't play last night against the Rockets, even though the thought was he was going to play on Tuesday. He didn't play. He didn't play last night. AD is hurting from a groin thing. So do you want to catch the Lakers when they're unlikely to be healthy? Because they're going to have to play. Those guys are going to play in that play-in game.
Yeah.
So, and there's not a lot of time for them to get right. So would you, if you're going to see the Lakers, you'd rather see them now. But if you're the Suns, you're like, oh, come on. Really?
Really? This is what we get? Yeah. I mean, nobody played for the Lakers last night, and the Rockets still came up short, 2 points short. So that's our Rockets talk for the, I don't know, remainder of the season, up until the lottery. That's the last time we'll probably mention them. Honestly, there were two or three guys I didn't even know were on. I had no idea who they were. They were big toe guys.
I've kept track only because it's fun to see if you can remember these guys from any other time before they were Rockets. And it's very, and the answer is no for quite a bit of them. But there's some sound from Steven Silas you may get to where he's just so proud of all these guys trying hard, and he's proud of them, which is all you can really take from this year. At least they haven't quit. And part of that is some of these guys are playing for contracts, one being Kelly Olynyk. There are other guys who would probably be G Leaguers if not for the results of the season. They're up with the big club, and they want to fight, because who knows how many opportunities they're going to get to prove they can be NBA players. So it's a weird combination of, yeah, you stink, but you don't have a lot of veterans who are just tanking it because it's the end of the year. You got guys who want to compete.
Yeah. Okay, that's enough.
Hey, let's talk more about the Rockets.
No, that's it. I mean, okay, so we lost everybody that tuned in this morning, so we apologize.
You started with them.
I just started with one of the biggest games in NBA history. That's all. That's all.
So why would people tune out if it's one of the biggest games in NBA history?
Because no one saw it.
Okay.
All right? It was the biggest game no one ever heard of last night in NBA history. So I was at the Astros last night, and I tell you, the ball that Yordan had, Tucker and Yordan, their shots, holy crap. You cannot hit a ball as hard. It's impossible to hit it as hard as Yordan
hit
that ball.
Would it surprise you that Chaz McCormick's home run allegedly was projected to go farther than all of them?
You know, I'm kind of, you know, I know that his OPS is 6-something, so not even 700. But why you don't give that dude a shot to play? Give him a week and see what Chaz McCormick can do, because you know what Straw is. I mean, you got Straw down. You see what Straw is. You know what Straw is. Straw can come back and play. He can drop balls later. I mean, there's no question he can have a ball that bounces off his glove any time. So we know that. We know what Straw can do. We know how he can drop a ball. But why not give maybe McCormick, if you give him every day at bats, maybe he'll hit a little bit better than 167. Maybe. We don't know. But he's weird because he's one of those left-handed fielders, right-handed batters. It's weird. It's crazy. But which usually doesn't work out for you. But he's why not give him a shot? See what he can do, and let him go, because we've seen plenty of Straw. So give Chaz a little shot out there, and he comes up with at least he's got some pop every once in a while. You know, we were talking last night. Would you rather have Jake Mariznick in center field right now? I mean,
more likely than not have the defensive issues.
Yeah, first of all, he's a better defensive player. That's not even arguable. It's not even arguable. Jake Mariznick was one when he was playing center field every day, was one of the better center fielders in baseball. That's not even arguable. He tracks the ball better. He actually catches it when it hits his glove. Jake Mariznick is a better fit, and he's got some pop. I know that it was, you know, he was the biggest beneficiary from the trash cans, but he even hit some. Now, he'll strike out a ton, but it ain't like Miles Straw is, you know, putting, he's hitting to some bad luck. But, you know, Jake Mariznick will come up with some pop every once in a while. Maybe that's Chaz McCormick, too. I don't know if McCormick is going to be the same fielder that Jake Mariznick is, but it's sure, you know, honestly, you get yourself a guy like that as opposed to what you're getting out of Straw right now. I don't want to be, you know, Straw is our, is just seems to be the punching bag all the time.
See Adam Everett now?
Who was it? Dave, he was a pinch hitter for the Astros back in the day. And that's all everybody was complaining about was him. And it was just like, it was just ridiculous. That's Straw this year. But when you see a Chaz McCormick launch a ball like that, holy crap, you're like, oh, you know what? If you give it that every once in a while, he'll hit over 200. He's hitting .167 right now. He'll hit over 200. Give him a shot. The bad news from last night, after a big, nice win, another series win, the Astros are starting to put them together now, is Urquidy going down. That sucks, because he was dealing, man. We were sitting up pretty close, and that ball is just popping. The difference between him and Haney went on the mound, it was night and day. Bilak came in and did a nice job. A little bit worried about Bilak coming in, but he did. He did a really nice job, and congratulations. He tired out. Thought maybe Dusty left him in there. You know what? Go get him. Let somebody else throw a couple of the last two innings. And he did. He tired out. And another time threw the order in it. That wasn't bad. But that lineup that they threw out there last night, the Angels threw out there last night, holy, without Trout in the lineup, holy crap. That is bad. It is awful. No wonder this is a bad baseball team. And I can't understand them getting rid of Pujols. Honestly, if Pujols, you tell him you're going to play once a week, you're going to play maybe twice a week, you're going to pinch hit, and that's it. I know he wants to play every day. He ain't playing anywhere every day. He's not good enough anymore. But you tell him that, and you certainly could have used a guy that can come in and hit a home run every once in a while. But that is just a bad team. The Angels are just a bad team. I know that they don't have all their Rendon. They didn't have Trout in there. I get it. Upton. They didn't have him in there. But
wait a minute. If you just name three staples in the lineup, we saw this happen with I don't know if the Angels are going to be any good, but we saw this with the Astros when this guy was out, and they were terrible.
Yeah, but the Angels don't have the pitching that the Astros have. Not only do they not hit, they don't have pitching. The Astros pitching kind of fell apart that week. The Astros had 1 week where it was really bad. One week. But Trout was their decision not to play.
Understood. But we know what happens when we've seen what happens when you take staples of the lineup out and the Angels aren't as deep as the Astros in that lineup. So when Rendon and Trout aren't playing, it's going to look like what it looked like last
night. Well, but Ohtani, they still had Washington, Ohtani in the lineup, and they both were 0-for.
Well, they had bad nights. If they have bad nights and you're leaving out your big boppers, then it's going to be bad. Look, the Angels aren't going to be good. They're probably they're 16-20. They, like we said, entering the series, they had given up the most runs in baseball, and that's certainly held to form over the last two nights. So they are what they are. They're below 500, last place in the AL West, but there are some awful teams, and the Astros haven't run into them yet. When they see they saw the Tigers, and it didn't matter, I guess. So the Astros did see one of the worst teams in baseball, and it didn't matter that week because of the things we laid out about guys out by COVID. The Angels are meh. They're just meh. Mm-hmm. And the Astros took care of them.
Well, look at what I didn't even know what Jake was hitting. He's with the Cubs now, right?
He just pulled up lame on a fly ball.
Jake?
Yeah. And I want to say it was his hamstring, but he came off the field like almost immediately.
His OPS is 973 this year. Hey, Jake Marisnick ain't going to have a 973 OPS.
Are there trash cans in Chicago?
Apparently, but that's a nice, you never know where a guy feels comfortable hitting. His slugging percentage is .623. He's got four bombs already. He's got a couple triples. He's got three doubles. So Jake Marisnick is having himself a great year. Yes, you would rather have Jake Marisnick than Miles Straw. And that's poor decision-making there that Miles Straw can get this job done. And then there is the Texans schedule, which we will get to on the other side. Our annual, we're going to pick how the Texans are going to finish this year. We're going to pick game by game. How will the Texans do this year? Okay. This is the definitive regular season prediction of their season this year, the day after the schedule comes out. So that's going to happen next right here on ESPN 97.5. In the meantime, I'm talking about my man, Jeff Aronoff. I know what he's doing today. He's putting in entire kitchens. He's putting in entire outdoor patios. He's putting in entire he's doing the insides of entire houses, or he's putting in the vanities in hotels, or the cabinets, or the countertops in entire hotels. This is what Jeff Aronoff does. He is remodeling entire businesses. This is what Jeff Aronoff does every single day. And he can do your home or your business as well. But you got to give them a call. You got to decide that, listen, I'm tired of losing money on whatever business or home that I have because it's antiquated. If you need to upgrade, you need to upgrade the walls, the floors, the counters, the cabinets, everything. Jeff Aronoff can do it all, does it all every single day. You got a big job? Jeff Aronoff is here for you. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. You got any thoughts on the Texans schedule? You're more than welcome. We hit the nail on the head yesterday with our under-over on noon games. So the Houston Texans, one of the premier brands in the NFL, I mean, that logo is symbolic. The Texans are really America's team. I think they've taken over.
When you see that logo, what does it mean to you?
It means blood, sweat, tears. It means integrity. It means it means empowerment. It means knowledge.
Empowerment.
Yeah. Yes.
Knowledge. Well, we know knowledge is power.
Right. Yes. So that's what it means to me. When I see that logo, I think of America because it's red, white, and blue.
Of course. And Texas as well. Red, white, and blue.
Excellence, because there's been that organization has been nothing but, there's nothing short of excellence. They poop excellence over there every day. Okay. It's what they do. Well, they kind of poop all over the place. But yeah, so that logo means so much to the NFL that the NFL wants it out there. The NFL wants it. It's the premier brand. It's going to be front and center every single week in the NFL. So what they did was they gave him a Thursday night game, prime time, early week, so everybody can get excited about the season, week three.
Of course.
Right, against the Panthers, one of their biggest rivals. So
sure,
yeah. Well, Matt Rhule was here in Texas, and you want to beat a guy that used to be here in Texas.
I thought you meant like actual Bulls and Panthers had a rivalry.
Well,
like
no,
in
no,
the
no.
wild.
No, these two teams, organizations, historically are. This is Bears Packers. This is Steelers Ravens.
The
this
Panthers
is,
yeah. did lose a Super Bowl in this stadium.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I imagine they're still very upset with the Texans because of that, even though the Texans weren't involved in the game.
Right.
I'm sure it still hurts and burns. So every time they see the Texans.
Yeah, the history between these two cities, I mean, it runs deep.
Charlotte and Houston?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if we want to say NC State is from Charlotte, you can.
Well, it's not really.
No, but, it's not right. at all, actually.
Right. No, no.
No.
But it's from the same state.
Same state, yes.
Right, right. So that it runs deep.
I mean, the Hornets and Rockets have a long history.
I mean, they played each other. Right?
Meaningless games, yes.
They played each other. Yes. So, I mean, this runs deep. So you got that. Then you have two West Coast games, which will be late starters. West Coast, of course, you're going to play the 49ers. Okay, that's almost prime time. It's a 3:00 start. That's when you're in that window, you know, that the league really, really, really it only puts teams in that 3:00 window that really deserve to be there.
Or it's simply because the 49ers are on the West Coast and that's when those games would start.
Yeah, but I mean, they could start them at 10 a.m. out there, but they're not.
They never do.
But they're not.
Unless the 49ers have moved to the Pac-12, which did that this past season, they don't do that.
Right, right. But they could.
They could, certainly.
But instead they said, no, we got the Texans. We want them in that window. Same with the Cardinals. Oh, how's that going to be?
What a game. You've got the Cardinals featuring, that quarterback in Kyler Murray, Texas ties. And you also have DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt.
Yeah. So you go, they know that's a rivalry game, so they put that in that 3:00 window.
Certainly.
And not only at the 3:00 window, but at 3:25. Which will be the latest starter game? Which will be the last game on that'll come up before the Sunday the Sunday night game? Which really doesn't matter.
Doesn't
to
matter.
The league.
No,
that one doesn't matter to the league. So, and that'll be the one that everybody's. Oh, what's going to happen with Texans and Cardinals? This is important. Wow, what a game! And then all of the other games, 14 games at noon, which is the premier window.
It's perfect, actually. I appreciate the NFL doing it specifically because it means I only have to pretend to care about the Texans late in my Sunday afternoon twice this year.
Twice. That's it.
So most of the time, I can be done with bad football by 3:15.
Right.
If I so choose.
Right. No. I mean, you want to talk about the league saying, listen, we have got to put the Texans in the spotlight.
They just know that noon is football time in Texas.
That's it. Noon is football time in Texas. And here's the thing, too. Monday nights, nobody wants those. I mean, who wants to play? Monday night, you see the ratings for Monday Night Football lately? Terrible. Nobody wants that. Sunday Night Football, late, where people are already going to sleep on Sunday night or watching Murder, She Wrote? That's not.
You know that show isn't like on anymore, right?
Murder She Wrote isn't on anymore.
Not
well.
Anywhere.
I'm sure to beat.
I'm sure it's on.
It's going to beat. It's going to beat Sunday Night Football anyway.
Is it?
Well, reruns. They probably have it on reruns on True TV.
Maybe.
Maybe. You don't know.
Do you know what channel True TV is?
You don't know either. No one knows.
I think it's like... No, I kind of think I know because of the NCAA tournament. Is it like 667 on Xfinity or something?
Yeah, I don't know. No one knows. Anyway, so you don't want to be on Sunday night, Monday night.
You
want to
be
on
Sunday at high noon?
No, you want to be on the week three of Thursday Night Football. That's like historically the biggest week. So that's where you put the big rivalry with the Texans and the Panthers. And then new games, because that's NFL football. People getting out of church and ready to watch some big, the biggest game. And it is. And here, our Texans are front and center. Week after week after week.
Well, this is
14 noon starts.
Well, this is fine, you laying out, you know, how we can center our day around Texans football on those Sundays. You know, the tailgating, making sure you're with your boys at or your ladies at a sports bar. But what everyone's here for is wins and losses, John.
Wins and losses. So here we go. You got week one, and I've already told you, the Texans are a 1.5-point underdog to the Jaguars. I like our team. I like our team. There's no way that a rookie's going to come in here and he's going to beat a Texans team.
Of course, our guy.
Led by Bo Cully. And our crew.
Well, if you call him Bo Cully, that doesn't really inspire confidence. Well, if you're calling him the next Bo Porter, that kind of contradicts your point of they're going to win the game.
Well, no. I mean it in the sincerest possible way. That
so you don't take any
Coach Cully is going to run onto the field and there's going to be smoke and everything.
How,
and Toro's going to
that's how coaches are introduced.
Down, and
coaches aren't introduced with fireworks when they run on the field.
Well, they might change it. Remember, Jack Easterby's doing things different now. We got new ball boys in here, and so you don't know. Maybe Coach Easterby's got a new plan for it.
So you don't buy into the fact that we got the tweet yesterday from KJ that Mark Sanchez as a rookie came in here and dominated a Texans team. You don't think that could happen this time around?
Mark Sanchez was a great, great player, and Trevor Lawrence hasn't even played a down.
No, but Mark
hasn't pissed a drop in the NFL.
Mark Sanchez hadn't pissed a drop either.
Well, he went to AFC championship games.
After
what has
that,
Trevor Lawrence done? Nothing.
No, but at the time, he hadn't done anything.
That doesn't matter right now.
Okay.
So now,
1-0 for you.
Week two to the Browns. I've been there with the Texans before and gone in there and dominated. That stadium, that city, they don't really like their football team. It really is a place that's everybody just wants to get away from. I'm pretty sure by week two the Browns will be out of it.
Okay.
So I'm not sure that they're leaving. They'll even show up.
So you're pointing to a game that happened when you were still with the team,
right?
Not the game that happened last year.
16 years ago.
Not the game that happened last year.
No.
Okay.
No. Well, this is a new Texans team.
It certainly is.
It's like 70% turnover.
But are they a better Texans team?
Yeah. Yeah. Watch.
Okay.
So you go into the Browns and you're 2-0.
2-0.
Obviously, the Panthers and Texans rivalry, huge at home on a Thursday night. This place is going to be rocking.
Coming off a 2-0 start, I imagine it'll be loaded up with people.
It'll be nice. And so now you're 3-0, and you're heading to Buffalo. Now, this is a good game, okay?
It's a playoff, an AFC title, not a team, but they're a finalist. They're in that game last year, the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, but here's the deal is remember when you played them in the playoffs? What happened?
Well, you won.
But
that was a different. That was a different Texans team.
Yeah, but this Texans team will. Hey, Josh Allen he couldn't do anything against this Texans team. Now this Texans team is different, but it's still the same.
Wait,
it's
actually, still the same said organization. That the Texans should have lost that game.
Yeah, but did they?
That's,
of course,
well,
we came
did.
Up with the big plays and won at the end.
You're right.
Now none of those guys are here.
No,
but that doesn't matter. With the history and the rivalry. And the way
Is some history. Actually are right with this one.
Right.
There actually is history, playoff game history between these two.
That's right. And who's dominated the series?
Well, didn't the Bills win that one, the comeback game?
That was the Oilers, Dell. That's
you're right. I was thinking of Houston
Oilers.
Sports.
Oh, you mean when they play Tennessee?
I was thinking about Houston sports overall.
No.
The Oilers.
The last
you're right.
Time
the last
two
time they played
cities
each other.
Played in the playoffs, the Texans dominated.
But this
4-0.
So. Who's quarterbacking this team, Terod or Davis Mills?
At this point, it's still Terod.
So at 4-0, there's still a chance they're going to bench him?
There's still – well, no. Has he gone to the doctor yet? No.
Has he had his lung punctured yet?
No, he has not. Well, you don't know. This time it might be, you know, I know he gets a shot in his butt, and oh, he broke his butt bone. We don't know.
I don't think
no one's sure yet.
If you get a shot in your butt, I don't think you break your butt bone.
Well, no one knows. You don't know.
No, I've had a shot in the butt before.
Texans and Patriots in Week 5.
Okay.
All right. Here's a rivalry that of late. Okay. Since Tom Brady's left, what have they been doing? Nothing.
The Texans did win.
Texans beat their ass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Cam Newton sucks. And
well, here, that's true.
Right?
That is actually true.
And so here we go. The Texans now off to one of the most amazing 5-0 starts in team history.
Are you surprised by this?
No, I'm not surprised at all.
I think the national narrative will be the Texans are a surprise team in the league.
Yes.
But you're going to say, no, I predicted this in May.
Now all of a sudden, flex scheduling. Oh, you want us on Sunday Night Football? Oh, well, maybe we don't want to play there. Maybe you don't get a no coke, NBC. Texans at Colts. This one could pose a problem, but by now, Carson Wentz has thrown 17 interceptions, okay? He sucks. They realize it. They've got to bench him. Here comes Jacoby Brissett.
He's not there anymore.
Well, whatever. Whoever.
Whoever it
will be. No one knows who their backup quarterback is. So here's one of the biggest upsets. The Texans go in as like 17-point underdogs, despite their 5-0 record.
And Wentz getting benched after throwing all the picks, they're still underdogs?
And they're still dogs, and they come out with one of the great wins in history.
Okay.
Now they're on the road at the Cardinals. Okay?
It's
payback.
Payback for what?
Payback for JJ and for DeAndre. Oh, I love your little tweets, DeAndre. Oh, how does this taste now?
Okay.
All right? Desmond King shutting your ass down. How's that? Okay? How'd that taste?
You believe
DeAndre
Desmond,
Hopkins?
You believe Desmond King will shut down DeAndre
Desmond
Hopkins.
King, that's right. Shutting down DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay.
And watch. All of a sudden now, the Texans are the crown prince of the league sitting there at 7-0. 7-0. And now here come the Rams.
Well, Matt Stafford's coming.
Matt Stafford was here with the Lions. What happened?
How did that go?
How'd that work out for him? How'd that work out for you? Oh, Aaron Donald, we ain't worried about you.
I'm a little worried.
Somebody called Justin Britt or something.
Didn't Aaron Donald.
Marcus Cannon moving down, helping out. What?
Didn't Aaron Donald almost like force Justin Britt to retire? Weren't they in the same division for years?
Yeah. What? Marcus Cannon, double team.
Ooh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And I imagine Brandon Cooks and whoever else is on the wide receiver roster.
Oh.
Will dominate Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, revenge and a little game payback for the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
For Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
How'd this taste?
All
Brandon
the motivations.
Cooks comes up with like 700 yards receiving in this game. Okay.
And no concussions.
And none. Zero concussions. So, I mean, you want to talk about.
Are we now 8-0?
Magical. Magical. And now they go to the Dolphins. And this is one of the biggest paybacks in NFL history. You're making fun of us. Now watch Laremy Tunsil protecting our guy, Davis Mills.
You'll get to have Desmond King lock up what would have been your pick in Jalen Waddle.
Will Fuller. Oh, by then Will Fuller will have swollen up so big from all his steroids.
Okay.
That his I'm pretty sure the pimples will be exploding off of his back, and he won't be able to play.
And I imagine
week.
Mark Ingram will dominate Bernard McKinney as well.
Uh-huh.
And then when Brennan Scarlett has to enter the game, Brevin Jordan will expose him.
And watch Shaq Lawson go off for like 7 sacks in this game. All right? Watch it.
Has he ever had 7 sacks in a season?
And
now you want it to be
game?
In a game?
Yeah.
And that's the – so they're 9-0 now?
Yeah, 9-0 heading to the break.
So that's the first half of the season.
That's the first half.
And they're
half.
Undefeated.
And we'll pick it up there as we go to the bye week with an undefeated Texans. I can't see a loss so far.
Is now's the time to bring in Davis Mills, or you stick with the hot hand at quarterback?
I've already brought him in.
Oh,
what? So Rod went and got his butt bone cracked by the doctor.
His butt bone.
His butt bone was cracked by the doctor with a gigantic needle. He said, what the hell?
Okay.
So now we're going to take a break, and we're going to talk about the second half on the other side. But first, it's Chastang Ford. If you're looking for the best way to get that Ford car or truck. And listen, the F-150 is awesome. I'm driving the Expedition, and they've got Explorers and Expeditions, and they got 2020s, and they have to go. They listen, you can work the deal right now. Just say, hey, I want to get into this thing. This is the price that I can get at. This is what I can pay you every single month. Let's work a deal. And they're going to work a deal. And I've never seen, honestly, because I've bought plenty of cars in my life, I've never seen anybody work the deal harder than they were. Because the first thing they asked me is, where do you have to be, have your payments at? I told them, this is what I need to be at. And then they said, okay, what package you want? Well, here's the package that you want. Now I said, okay, now let's do it. And you know what? They did it. With all of the Ford rebates and all of the stuff, the discount and everything else, they worked that deal so hard that I got where I had to be, and I love my Expedition. And you're going to love whatever it is, and I'm telling you, you're going to love the people most of all. No add-ons, dealer add-ons there. They're not going to put $3,000 more on the car than you agree to. This is what they do every single day at Chastang Ford. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Or you can shop online at ChastangFord.com.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right. 735 ESPN 97.5, 737-803-776. I mean, you might agree or disagree with me on the first half of the season, how I think it's going to go. I believe we head into the bye week, which comes at November 14th. That's the bye week. I believe that our team comes in at 9-0. But that's just me. I'm pretty sure everybody. I'm not the only one, but I'm pretty sure.
No, I think you're right. It's just you.
No, I'm sure other people have got the Texans in this kind of situation with another big win at the Dolphins.
You think people are now discussing whether they're the best team to ever play?
Well,
are they dominating these games or winning in like one score battles?
Now, I saw this on ESPN earlier this year. Will the Buccaneers go undefeated this year, 17-0?
What?
And I thought, you know, that's kind of silly, but I don't, you know, I can certainly see where, you know, ESPN would debate this. I'm pretty sure today or tomorrow they're going to have the same question about the Texans.
I think they may have a talk about a zero in one of the columns.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it's the loss column, though.
Well, I mean, you don't know. I mean, have you seen the story on ESPN? No.
What do you think is more likely? Will the Texans go 0-17 or will the Texans go 17-0?
Obviously 17-0. I've already got them at 9-0.
The discussion. What do you think is the more likely
ESPN
discussion does,
nationally? But ESPN is always anti-Houston. Always. We know that.
Yeah, we know.
Right? All their announcers hate. Yes. You know, I mean, every single announcer that ever announced a Houston game just hates
Houston.
Even
Robert Flores hates Houston.
Yeah, well, no, Robert, but he's a baseball guy now. He doesn't know anything about the Texans.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So here we go. Second half of the season, you start with the Titans. Okay, after a bye week, the Texans well rested. The city is on fire with a 9-0 team.
Have you been to every home game so far?
No, I'm not.
I thought you're on fire. The city's on fire.
The city is on fire.
Why wouldn't you be at the game?
It's superstition. If you don't go the first one and they win.
Yeah, like, well, how am I going to? I can't break that.
My mistake.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, no. I mean, it doesn't matter where I am or what I'm doing. No, this is about our team.
I just assume since you're part of the city and it's on fire, yeah, you couldn't keep yourself from being at the games.
I want to hear every call
of Mark Vandermeer.
Because I'm sure that Jim Nance or Joe Buck are going to be on every game for the Texans, right?
I mean.
So I want to hear the call.
Jim Nance, Steve Tasker, Adam same Marshall, thing.
No,
whatever.
Well, yeah. No. You know, I want to hear what Romo thinks. I want to hear what Aikman thinks. I want to hear what these guys are saying about the team.
Then you should probably watch a different game.
I'm watching this game. It's the headliner for CBS, the noon game.
Let's see what else is on. While you go pick the winner, I'm going to see what else is on that schedule.
So after a bye week, I mean, the Titans suck. You go to the Titans, boring stadium. Their season's over already. Derrick Henry, probably. I don't know. He's probably been arrested. I don't know.
For what?
I don't know.
Probably been arrested.
Somebody pulled on that giant shrimp tail of his or something, and
his dress?
He got into a bar fight. I don't know. Maybe, chicken wings and a gun. I don't
know. It's not a thing that every star Titan player does.
Maybe.
Only Vince does that.
Well, you don't know. So the Texans go in there 10-0. Now the Jets come to town. Zach Wilson's mom's here.
Okay. That'll be nice.
All right, and she does not like what's happening over at Treasures. But you know what?
Treasures is for whores.
That's right. Treasures is for whores, and
according to Lisa Wilson,
she's going to be like disgusted with this city about how many strip bars we have. And this Houston is for whores.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's bulletin board material in the Texans locker room. Zach Wilson, take his head off. Guess what? Texans win again.
Okay.
This is unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
Run. So now the Colts come to town in our building with this fan base, with this noise, everything else. Already Carson Wentz, he's thrown 92 interceptions.
He's still in the game?
He's still in. He's
okay.
Still
there. After 92 interceptions.
92 interceptions, new NFL record. And the Texans obviously dominate this game.
Of course.
Obviously. So now you're going. The Seahawks come in here.
Their defense sucks.
That's the worst defense in the history of football.
Do the Texans have the best offense and defense in the NFL? Do they rank first and first?
Yeah, I mean, and yeah, obviously when you're unbeaten, the point differential
is the largest in NFL history.
It's going up to this on one point. Of the largest in NFL history. But I don't want to put all kinds of records on them. This is a working man's team.
Okay.
Okay.
So they're scrapping out one-score victories over and over again?
Yeah. I mean, there's been some nail biters. I mean, obviously the Jets and they came up with a big win. Big sack of Zach Wilson at the end and his mom.
Whitney Merciless gets it?
I don't think Whitney did. I'm pretty sure Whitney's not playing.
What?
I'm pretty sure Whitney's got his half a sack for the season and he shut it down.
Okay, so not everything is going perfectly for the Texans.
No, but we don't need it. Shaq Lawson had 7 sacks in a game. Okay?
Yeah, it's called overcoming adversity.
Yeah.
The same Shaq
Lawson. I mean, we picked up like 28 linebackers this offseason. I
want to point out that Shaq Lawson's season high total for sacks in a season is 6.5, but he's going to accumulate 7 in the season.
7.
I mean, in a game.
That's right. In that one game. Well, it's payback for the Dolphins for trading him. How'd that taste?
I wish he would have done that when the Bills didn't re-sign him because he didn't get payback against them.
So now, where are we? The Seahawks? Yeah. Their defense sucks. Russell Wilson is already, I mean, he was the MVP in week 3. Now he's like one of the worst players in the league. This is what happens with Russell Wilson every year.
He
throws 6 picks. Texans win.
6.
Still undefeated. Now all of a sudden,
the
72
picks?
Dolphins are starting to sweat this one out.
Or even the 2000 whatever Patriots who would have defeated.
They didn't get it done.
You're going to go Super Bowl already?
Well, you don't know.
Asking you. That's why I asked.
It's undefeated. The only team that'll ever be 17-0. There's this possibility right
in the regular season. Yes.
Right. So you go to the Jags. Urban Meyer, he's like, okay.
Has he already decided he doesn't want to do this anymore?
Well, he's hired another racist. The team has turned on him.
Okay.
Okay. The team can't stand him now because he's a blatant racist with all his hirings.
Okay.
And now this team has turned on him.
He made David Duke the team chaplain?
Yeah. Accidentally, I don't know. He had... Trevor Lawrence's hair got cut on one side. A fan hated him and just cut one side of his hair. He's so upset he probably can't play this week.
Here's the deal. Gardner Minshew time?
It's Gardner Minshew time. And you know what? That's a struggle.
You're a little worried about that, aren't you?
Yeah. No. Obviously. So that was that's a struggle, but that's another one. Last second, Texans win, which is what they do all the time in Jacksonville.
So, Kyemi Fairbairn makes a game winner?
Yeah, Kyemi Fairbairn comes up big again for our team.
All right.
Kyemi Fairbairn, so far, perfect on the season.
And is Sunday Night Football...
He's only kicked 28-yarders all year.
Because the Texans either score touchdowns or get stopped by some flag that was... targeting flag, because Laremy Tunsil gets targeted all the time.
We're not letting Kyemi kick any more 50-yarders.
Yeah, the Texans are about scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, that's what they do. It's what they do. This high-powered offense, it's nonstop. Philip Lindsay already has set the rushing record. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So here we go. And then we got the Chargers.
Do you really need to talk about this one? The Chargers, after Christmas, is there going to be a Christmas hangover?
Yeah. Well, it's December 26th, right? The Chargers have to come here. All right. They got to travel on the road. They're pissed, okay, because Justin Herbert is having like the worst. Listen, that rookie season, you're always really, really good, but then the league catches up.
Correct.
So now this team is coming in here with only 3 wins, the Chargers. It's one of the most disappointing seasons in NFL history. Mm. And here they are, and the Texans just wipe them off the map.
The Texans stole his quarterback coach, so it's also a revenge game.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But he doesn't play well in this revenge game.
That's why he's not playing well.
He doesn't handle it very well.
Oh, no, and he comes, cries on his shoulder, and it's a bad scene. It's a horrific scene. So the Texans now still undefeated, but they got to go to San Francisco, okay? So,
who are they playing, Jimmy G or Trey Lance?
It's Trey Lance time because their season is already over too. So they put in the rookie Trey Lance, and this is where the story ends. This is where the dream magical season ends.
So you're not saying undefeated.
I'm saying I see one.
You found a loss.
I found one loss. Look at that. Schedule. I found a loss on the schedule.
It's late in the year versus a rookie
quarterback.
Well,
and the Texans have already clinched. They've clinched home field advantage.
Oh,
there's really nothing. They put in Ryan Finley.
Okay, not Davis Mills.
No, they put in Ryan Finley because Davis Mills
led them to all these victories. I forgot because Tyrod Taylor
is
out because he broke a butt bone. I forgot, yes.
Tyrod Taylor's butt bone, he's not going to be able to come back.
Okay.
They put in Ryan Finley since they've already clinched. And here, this is where they come up with a one-point loss at San Francisco. And the dream of an undefeated season ends. Then they come home, beat the snot out of the Titans, which they always do anyway. Derrick Henry runs for 4 yards. and the Texans destroy them. And finish the season 16-1.
Heading into what you don't predict the playoffs on these schedules because you don't know the matchup.
No, I don't know. We don't know the matchup.
But you know the Texans will be a heavy favorite to make the Super Bowl and win it.
Yeah. So this is my prediction. I know a lot of you are probably saying this is ridiculous. How do you have them losing a game? I know.
I know a lot of people probably do think that.
I know. So here's the deal. Yes, they lose it. Stop being unrealistic. That this is an undefeated team. Stop it, because this team could. I don't want to be pessimistic, but they could lose a game.
Well,
just so you know,
we seem to have a dissenting opinion. Before we go to Ray, Concept Mayhem asks: after spending nearly an entire season, do you think Spiro Dedis or Solomon Wilcots will have a baby mama Houston by the end of the year? Because you know, he is suggesting that whole 16-1 thing is not real, and it may be the opposite. And, you know, these guys aren't the A team. They're more like the D team. So are they going to be in Houston a lot?
No. This is – Troy Aikman. His wife is going to go, what the hell? Okay.
Spend
you're
all
in
time
that
in
city every week. Troy Aikman. Oh, Tony Romo can't make – you didn't qualify. Maybe with all the great golf we have here, maybe Tony Romo will qualify for a PGA event.
I can't
wait because of how much golf he's going to be able to play here in the city of Houston because he's here all the time.
I can't wait for ESPN to create something called the Texans Index, where everything the Texans do is broke. We have a specific reporter for the Texans. Maybe we get our very own Brian Windhorst. You know, when the Heat were the heels, that the Heat Index. I need their NFL version of Brian Windhorst following the Texans through historic season.
That's right. Right.
I mean, get a Marty Smith down here.
Yeah.
To follow
Davis
this Texas
Mills
season.
Is the new LeBron. Okay.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
All right. So that's what happened here. If anybody if you've got a differing opinion or you agree wholeheartedly, you're more than welcome to get in here. 713-780-3776 or at John Granato, at Tyler Drew Scott, at Del V2 on Twitter. You can at us. And differing or, you know what? We're open to different interpretations. Maybe you see two losses. I don't know. Maybe you think I'm crazy for giving him a loss. I don't know. But you can get in here at 713-780-3776. Right now, though, I'm talking about GimmeTheVin.com. That's my man, John Clay Wolf. He was on with us earlier this week, and boy, was he a big hit. Everybody loves them, some John Clay Wolf. You never know what John Clay Wolf's going to say. What I do know about John Clay Wolf is that John Clay Wolf is going to give you more for your vehicle. That's what John Clay Wolf does at GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com. Houston is a great market for him. He has said before that, you know, Houstonians, you really understand the deal, okay? You know that your vehicle isn't worth $40,000, it's really a $28,000 car, and you get it. But here's the deal. If it's a $28,000 car, there's a good chance John Clay Wolf is going to give you $30,000 for it because he just pays more. It's unbelievable how much he always pays more because he says, if I can't beat CarMax's offer, guess what? Going to give you $100. So I can't beat your dealer's offer. I'm going to give you $100. That's all you need, my friends, is John Clay Wolf. And go in armed to that dealership or CarMax with how much your vehicle will get. And I'm going to tell you what, you're going to be selling it to GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
Hey. Yeah. You know what? I like the playoffs. No diggity, no doubt.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, it's 7:51 on ESPN 97.5. We got some Tony Busby news that we're going to have to get to. Mark Berman put out some news. So stick with us here on ESPN 97.5. But let's get some phone calls in here at 713-780-3776. We got people waiting. I mean, nothing elicits a bigger response than Texans prediction, Texans season prediction. And happens every year here. I'm almost perfect usually on how I predict the season.
You're much like the Texans because they usually go in your predictions 15-1.
Right.
And you are almost always right.
Almost dead on. Almost always dead on. So let's get Jim in here first on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Jim.
Good morning. Hey, John and Dale. I think y'all are a perfect combination. The chemistry is great. I've been enjoying y'all this week. Hope y'all stick with it. Anyway, John, I agree with your prediction, except for that one loss. I'm kind of, because of the way Jack Easterby and Kyle McNair have run this thing and took a torch to it, I'm thinking that I'm rooting for 17 losses. So I want them to be the first team in NFL history to go 0-17. And I want that bad boy tattooed on Cal and Jack's forehead for the rest of their life. Thank you. Have a great morning.
Mm. So he agreed with you, except he wanted the complete opposite.
Oh, and so I think he was Jim was might have been drunk.
might have been
because I could see 17-0, but 0-17 is ridiculous. I mean, if you're going to bring some ridiculous prediction here, you know, save it. Save that pessimistic attitude towards the season for a sports radio 610 or something.
Or, you know.
Because this, we're your true home for Texans football.
If you want to bring that nonsense and negativity, take it to the Blitz, okay? Maybe they will agree with your 0-17 stuff, but not here.
Were they on when the schedule, maybe the end of their show,
was,
right?
Yeah, I think it probably got
and I'm sure they had pessimism for what the Texans were going to, what their record was going to be.
Those guys are negative
that they're
by
not,
nature.
The Texans team isn't that good. There's some ridiculous nonsense or negativity by those two. Well, guess what? This is real Texans talk. Real Texans talk right here. ESPN 97.5, The Bench.
Yeah, as evidenced by the fact that Tyrod Taylor will miss most of the year with a broken butt injury. So, yes, real Texans talk. Well, listen to the man when he tells you.
Well, he's not going to give him a shot in his lungs this year because his lungs have been punctured. They're going to give him the shot in the butt, and that's going to break his butt bone.
They couldn't just give it to him in his shoulder or something?
Well, you want to break his shoulder? Is that what you want? No.
Why can't
you leave the man alone with all the shots?
How big is the needle?
It's a gigantic needle.
Okay.
And, man, trust me, you don't want none of this. Alex, let's get him in here. Hey, Alex, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? I listen to you guys every morning. So I'm listening this morning, and I have a question. I actually have two questions, but I'll get to the first one first. So that is record-setting season for the Texans. Where's Deshaun? Is he suspended? Is he on the sideline? Does he get more massages? What's going on with Deshaun?
He does ask a great question, John.
Well, here is an answer for you. When reached by phone, Mark Berman tweeted this out. When reached by phone Wednesday night, Houston attorney Tony Busby, who represents 22 women who have filed civil lawsuits against Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson, confirmed that four of his clients have met with the NFL's lead investigator, Lisa Friel, and 8 to 10 of his clients are possibly going to meet with them as well. Possibly 8 to 10 of his clients have met with the Houston Police Department. And Busby pointed out the Houston Police Department has been perfect. While Busby praised HPD's efforts, he expressed concern with the way the NFL is handling these things. Some of the women did not feel like they were being respected, which led to Busby attending the fourth session and said he told the NFL, let's be clear, every time these women recount the situation, they have to relive it. Busby said other members of his staff attended the first three sessions with the NFL. Busby also pointed out there are probably four more women who want to meet with the NFL, but he's not certain he's going to allow this to happen. When asked about a possible settlement for each case, Busby said, that is not happening. So this, all of the speculation, so 8 to 10 have met with the Houston Police Department, four have already met with the NFL, they want to meet with more, not sure it's going to happen because of the way that Lisa Friel is handling this thing, but let's be clear, all of this downtime, this quiet time that everybody's been speculating there's going to be a settlement, Tony Busby has shot that down. No settlement is happening. So this is either
that.
Going
one
to...
One more question?
Yeah.
Not really a question? What do you guys got to do to get Lance back? Because the two of you are terrible together. Get Lance back, please.
Okay. All right, buddy. We appreciate
well,
it.
Well, we didn't send Lance anywhere. He's on vacation.
Lance is on vacation.
Yeah.
So this is not happening. Deshaun is not going to be playing. This is going to be an open investigation probably throughout the season. I mean, Antonio Brown, how long did that take? How long did that take? It took a year and a half for Antonio Brown to get his fixed. Now, he still played, but he was on the exempt list.
For 8 games, was it?
Was it
eight
the exempt weeks? Or was suspension?
I'll look it up.
Well, he wasn't on a team.
He wasn't on a team.
He wasn't on a team.
But it all still counted.
Yes,
yes,
right. So he had time served.
Yes.
Because he wasn't on a team. He wasn't playing in the NFL. This is a different situation now. Now, what is interesting, though, is it appears from what Tony Busby said.
He was suspended 8 games.
He was suspended 8 games. So it appears from what Tony Busby said that the NFL seems to be leaning towards Deshaun with their disrespect for these women.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. Did they not take the alleged claim seriously? I don't know what he means by disrespect. I guess he just doesn't think they have been shown the level of respect an alleged assault victim should be shown. I don't know. Is the NFL not handling it with kids' gloves, or leaning Deshaun's way? Or maybe Tony Busby just didn't like the cut of someone's jib at some point. I don't know. I don't know what that means, actually.
Right. You know, if they are victims and you're not handling it the way their attorney likes, I could certainly see Tony Busby having that attitude. The attitude that he's not settling is unsettling for Deshaun, I would imagine.
It flies in the face of any speculation that has gone on. Everyone, it's quiet. They should be working towards something. Just because, I said, maybe there's nothing to say right now. And the first time we do hear from Tony Busby, he lets everyone know, no, there are no settlements in place.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry. This is something that we're taking, at least right now, to court.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that's happening right now. 713-780-3776. If you guys want to get in here, you're more than welcome. I gotta take a whiz test to my PO. I know I feel cause I done smoked major weed, bro. And every time we with Chris, that fool rolling up a fatty. But the Tango race straight had me.
ESPN 97.5.